You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Well, that was a short one. She caught me off guard on that one here. I was like, whoa, offer's not even done. Come on up, guys. You can look. Just threw the whole world out of balance right there. Short offering song. Well, thank you guys for being here today, obviously. I forgot to mention earlier, I got to chew up this cough drop or so I'm going to spit it on somebody while I'm preaching. And I don't want to spit it on Miss Olive or Autumn or Stephen. So, sometimes I stuck it in my, I stick it in there in my cheek and I look like a hamster, you know, how they can't carry around the food. That'll slow me down when I get preaching, but I got a lot to say today, so I'm going to have to get ready to just get going. A couple quick announcements before I speed into this. The ladies are doing their paint night May 5th. May 5th? Yes. May 5th at, 6 p.m. I was like, man, that's some tiny writing. It is at 6 p.m., May 5th, 6 p.m., right here in the basement. This is a great time that the ladies get together, and I'm excited because one of our very own ladies are going to be leading the painting, and it's going to be different. They're going to be doing different kind of stuff. And so I tell you this, it's a great way for the ladies to connect. If you have any questions or anything, you can see my wife for any details, but I would say they need you to sign up and register so that way we know how many people. I think last year we had 60, 70 people or something like that. So please sign up. It's a great time and it's just good, even if you don't want to paint, if you want to just come fellowship together. And then also, if you're in here and you have a graduate that's graduating, I can't believe it's almost that time already. If you're in here and you have a graduate either from high school or from college that you would like to recognize, graduation Sunday is coming up May 18th. Just fill out a card on that and drop it in the connections box on the way out. Michael, I usually don't do this, but you did have your hand up. So, workdays. Oh yeah, another thing. If you're interested in a teen workday, I got lots of announcements. I don't usually do announcements, but we usually do teen workdays. So with spring coming, the teen workdays is to help the teens pay for the ability to be able to go to a Christian camp for a week. And so any money that they would get from, say, going over, landing to Maggie's house and helping them clean up the yard or chores that need to be done, those kind of things. If that's something that you're interested in having the teens do for you, see Mike and Samantha, or you can see Zach and Mackenzie as well. Either one, just touch base and they'll be able to get you squared away. And so that's all the announcements. I got a couple more, but I'm not giving out any more announcements. If you want to know, just come talk to me afterwards. Open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. And so today the message is the king's prerogative. The king's prerogative. Solomon occupied a position of unparalleled authority in leadership. Now, I want you to think about this. You know, can we go to the first slide? Is it not working? Oh, there it is. I'm talking to my son. He's a slide clicker, but our sometimes it doesn't want to go back there. And so Solomon occupied a position of unparalleled authority in leadership. He was at the top of his game and living as if no one could dictate his actions throughout his life. He came to an understanding that there exists a supreme king, one who reigns in heaven and guides both his path and ours, often without awareness. While Solomon imparts wisdom on how to engage with this king, it is evident that he writes from a place of personal experience, having gained insight into the supremacy that excelled far above his own. He instructs us in chapter 8 on how to navigate relationships with those in positions of authority, as well as with the ultimate authority of Jesus Christ, who is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the supreme King of the universe. And so the scripture reading for today, let's all stand. We're going to read verses 2 through 5. The verses are going to be up here on the board behind me. So let's read together. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Let's pray. Father, I do just ask and pray, Lord God, that you would open our eyes, that the Holy Spirit would meet us here and reveal to us wonderful things about yourself and Scripture, Lord God, as we come. Lord, give us the wisdom that we need to be able to understand. Lord, open our eyes. Help us to soften our hearts by your word. Make us clean in your word through your word. Lord, I pray that you bless your people now in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated. Number one, we're going to jump right into it. The power of the king. Verse number one says, who is as the wise man? Question number one. And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. You know, Solomon starts off with this question is, who is like the wise man, or who is like a wise individual? The second question he asks is, who knows the interpretation of a thing, or who has understanding of a matter? Proverbs chapter number 2, verse 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. The Lord giveth wisdom. There is no wisdom apart from God's wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Who is truly wise but those who seek counsel from the Lord, the great king, because it is he that gives wisdom, and those who seek after him will be wise. This is who Solomon's talking to. Godly wisdom in a man changes his character and his demeanor. I like that phrase when it says, a man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. Kind of that brightness, just a different complexion, just a different demeanor. It makes me think about Stephen as he was getting ready to be stoned, but yet when they looked on his face, it was as though they saw the face of an angel as he poured out onto them the wisdom of God and pointing them to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, man, his face shone like an angel. It was that wisdom. It wasn't a hard demeanor. It wasn't a mean demeanor. It was a spiritual, it was a angelic almost demeanor. A godly wisdom in a man changes his character and demeanor, because that man does not walk in darkness, but in light. His path is not hid, but his way is known. See, you know, when we're talking about Stephen knew where he was going when they stoned him. It wasn't in darkness, and therefore he could have that complexion, that difference. As he said, the same thing Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Solomon is addressing those who say they are wise to listen to his words. Look at verse number 2. In regards to the power of a king, a wise man will yield to the king's commandments. A wise man will yield to the king's commandments, or those in authority over him. Look at verse number 2. I counsel thee. This is Solomon helping those that are underneath of him, those that have served under him. It says, I counsel thee. Hey, a wise man will hear these words. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandments, and that regard of the oath of God. Why will a wise man keep the king's commandments? Because he has made an oath to follow the Lord. So therefore, he will yield to those God has put in authority over him. Does that make sense? That oath to God, hey, I follow God, but I'm not going to submit myself to the authority that God has put over me. King Nebuchadnezzar is a perfect example of it. Well, the king, man, he's just wicked. Do you know who put King Nebuchadnezzar into that place of authority? God did. Do you know why God put King Nebuchadnezzar in that place of authority? as to be a means of correction to help bring those that were in Israel that had gotten out of the way back into the way. And so for someone to, like Daniel, I'm not going to listen to him. He's a wicked king. He's a terrible king. He's the king that God put over you. He was that authority figure that God put over you. Yield to that. Hey, I counsel thee. First, yield to that king's commandments. Be a wise man will not be hasty to flee because he doesn't like the king's commandments. A wise man will not be hasty to flee because he doesn't like the king's commandments. You ever met somebody that just really struggles with authority and doesn't want to listen at all to those that are over them, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a police officer, whether it's a county worker or whoever, you know, and constantly a boss maybe, constantly bucking, well, I don't like what they're telling me. And constantly, well, I'm just going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go work somewhere. I'm going to go do something else. You ever met anybody like that? I have. And a wise man will not be hasty to flee because he doesn't like the king's commandment. Look at verse number 3. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Well, I don't like what he's telling me to do or the directives that he's giving me. And here we see this picture where this guy's running away from the leadership or the authority that God has put over him. It says, be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doth whatsoever pleases him. The king is going to do whatever the king wants to do. You need to learn to bring yourself into subjection to those who God has put over you. This is wisdom here. And when we look at it, when those in authority over us make a decision or a law we don't like, it doesn't give us the right to run from them or to fight against those in authority over us. Most of the time, this boils down to pride. The reason that we buck, the reason that we fight, it's a pride thing. It's a pride thing because we don't like to be told what to do. If it's not the direction we want to go. Case in point, the Roman law in the days of Jesus was that any Roman had the authority to come up to, any Roman soldier had the authority to come up to any Jew and say, hey, you, here's my stuff. Pick it up and carry it. Legally, under the Roman law, he was obligated to carry that 1 mile. Well, that's disrespectful. I couldn't agree more. Hey, that's prejudice. I couldn't agree more. But what did Jesus teach regarding that? Did he say, you punch that guy in his face? Did he say rebel against the authority over you? Did he say push back against the law? What did he say? He said go 2 miles with him instead of 1. Ouch. Ouch. Well, did you see how he treated me? Yeah, I did. Jesus knew how, and I'm sure that centurion soldier had come up to Jesus more than one time and said, hey, you, carry my stuff. And Jesus said, I'm not only going to carry your stuff 1 mile, that's just the law. Hey, I'm going to go the extra mile. And I wonder if like that Roman soldier, man, you know, that talking about, you know, heaping coals upon his head, you know, where it's like, hey, that's not what Jesus taught. He didn't teach, hey, fight back. He said, hey, go the extra mile. Yield to the cause. As Christians, one of the greatest things we must learn in this life that we give far too less of credit of its impact on other people is submission to authority. When you look at Scripture, those who submit to authority, God uses that impact in mighty ways to have profound results on kings and princes and those who lead the lands. But yet it's so hard for us. And so that idea of submission to authority God has placed over us. And so to rebel against that authority would be to rebel against God himself. For Daniel to rebel against King Nebuchadnezzar would literally be Daniel rebelling against God. And I know what you're thinking. Well, what happens when he tells you to do something? And we're going to look at that because I know that's where we go, right? What if they tell me to do something or stop something that's against God? At that point, you don't fight against authority. You know, when the decree was made that no prayer should be made, do we see any recollection in Scripture of Daniel to fight against King Nebuchadnezzar and that decree, or Darius, King Darius in that decree? No, we see him going back and submitting himself to God. Because remember, at the end of the day, we submit ourselves to God. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They didn't found to be fighting against the king. They said, listen, we can't, because this goes against, we'll do a lot of things. Hey, we'll shovel dirt all day. We'll do the dirtiest, filthiest things. We'll wash the feet. We'll do all these things. But I cannot go against the authority of my God and bow down to this graven image. And if it means that we must die, we submit to you. Kind of like the martyr that was burned at the stake, or Peter who was crucified upside down. You know, hey, I'm not going to fight against you, but I cannot go against the authority. And a lot of times we use the excuse not to submit to authority because, well, they're wicked men. Nebuchadnezzar was top notch. Top notch. But God said, hey, I'm going to use him, and he's going to accomplish my will to help bring you back to the Lord. At that point, you don't fight against the authority, you submit to God. Far too often, we diminish the power of submission and how God uses it to show himself strong on behalf of those who are mistreated. God will fight for you if you can just take a second to stop fighting for yourself. And I don't mean that in the wrong way. I mean that in the very right way. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could have did everything that they could have did to fight. Daniel could have fled. Oh, well, they're coming to kill me. I'm just going to go run. But at the end of the day, who fought for these men? God fought for these men. They submitted themselves under the authority. And I know it's not easy sometimes, and I know it can be difficult. I'm not sitting up here preaching it's an easy message. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. This is why we need to walk in the Word of God, because you can't do this kind of thing without the Lord and his power. But at the end of the day, who showed man himself strong on behalf of Daniel? God did in the lion's den. Who showed himself strong on behalf of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? God did. And who was glorified through it all? God was. God was. Sometimes we're so busy fighting for ourselves that God's like, you don't even give me a second to fight for you. You're so busy in your own pride, fighting back and buckling up and just rah, you know, that God doesn't have an opportunity, and he's not going to fight against you. It's like we submit to him, and if we submit to him, hey, he's like, hey, this is what I need. That's why Romans chapter 12 says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Okay, who knows judgment and justice better, you or God? That's a no-brainer. A wise man will yield to the king's commandments, A. A wise man will not be hasty to flee because he doesn't like the king's commandments, B. C. A wise man understands the power of a king or those in authority over him. Look at verse number 4. Where the word of a king is, there is what? Power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Or, hey, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Like, who could, you know, kind of just a smart question, you know, who could come up to Solomon, the greatest in all the land, and say, hey, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing, buddy? He's like, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm the king. You know, I mean, it's kind of like a laughing question almost. Whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both the time and judgment. Basically, he's saying, who could say to the king, what do you think you're doing, buddy? And far too often, especially in our culture today, man, it is ingrained in us to question authority. It's ingrained in us, and it starts about, I think, about this high. Why? And I know the answer, because I said so, isn't applicable, but it needs to be, because you just need to trust me. Who can say to the king, what do you think you're doing? The king and those in authority are going to do what they please here. This is what he says. And we often like to question authority before we submit to authority. Why do we do that? Because we want to know the outcome before we choose whether or not to submit. That's why people struggle to submit to God, because, well, God, I'll submit to you if you let me know what the end result is. No, it don't work like that. It's ingrained in us from a little child not to yield ourselves and submit ourselves to the Lord. It starts with not yielding to our parents. Parents, this is why it's so important that you teach your kids by correction and sometimes chastisement to learn to obey you. Because if they will not obey you, they most certainly will not obey God. They will not obey the authorities outside of the home, all because they have gotten away with too much in the home. We often like the question of authority. This is the reason many don't submit to the Lord, because when he tells us to do something we don't like or allow, that we don't like or allow us to go through. See, this is why I got to slow down. I'm going to take a second. Slow down here. This is the reason many don't submit to the Lord, because he tells us to do something that we don't like or that we don't want to do. He allows us to go through a struggle or a difficulty, and he doesn't give us an answer of why. Why are you allowing me to go through this? And I can't tell you how many people, Christians, that God is allowing them to go through a difficulty or go through a struggle, and because God won't give them the answer why, or they can't see it or perceive it on their own, they're like, man, this is it. I'm done. I'm not following the Lord anymore. He won't. He is allowing this thing in your life instead of yielding to his word. When we don't understand it, we run from it. That's what we do. We don't yield to authority. We buck it. It's the pride. It starts, like I said, when we're about two. When the mom tells that little kid, hey, no. Yes. Verse number 5 says this: whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. Whose commandments? The king's commandments. Those that are in authority over them. Whoso keepeth the king's commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both the time and judgment. See, God is king supreme, okay? God is king supreme, and his power is limitless. Ultimately, God rules and reigns over all authorities. And when we submit ourselves under those authority God has placed over us, we will fear no evil. Case in point, Daniel. Case in point, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I understand sometimes God will allow martyrs to suffer, but that's at God's knowledge in God's hands. But God tells us here through Scripture, Solomon tells us that he who keepeth the king's commandment will feel no evil and will gain discernment of both the reason and the judgments of things from God, the giver of wisdom. Do you realize that Daniel knew why Nebuchadnezzar was in charge and allowed to take hold of the children of Israel? Daniel knew that. He was a wise man. He understood that. When you go back and you read Jeremiah, and it tells them over and over again how they rebelled against the Lord, they rebelled against the Lord, they rebelled against the Lord. So I'm going to send King Nebuchadnezzar to help you stop rebelling against me. See, Daniel understood that time and that judgment because he submitted himself to the wisdom and authority of God. And therefore, he submitted himself under the authorities that God had put over him. So we see the power of the king. Number two, the judgments of the king. The judgments of the king. A, underneath of that, and we have, like, I put all the scriptures up here for a whole chapter. So that way, if your Bible reads different, you're going to get the same thing up here on the screen. So it says, the judgments of a king. A, the fear of the judgment of the king. Look at verse number 6. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not what shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be, when that punishment's coming, when that end is coming? Verse 8 says, kind of gives, unwraps it a little bit as far as what he's talking about. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain of this spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall the wicked deliver those that are given to it. Now, from this standpoint, that judgment, this would be judgment from on high. That judgment from on high, that first, verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain it. This is talking about it could go that way, but specifically talking about the Spirit of life in man, not the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of life in man. We have no power over life. Far too often, and it gets me crazy how all these scientists are trying to make life, in these test tubes and everything. Do you realize what life is? It's something that only God can give. And here, Solomon's like, hey, no man has any power to retain the Spirit. We have no power over life. None. We don't take it and we don't give it. And you say, well, I could pull out a gun and shoot myself. No, you can't. Not if God doesn't want you to. You go to Revelations where it says guys are going to want to, it's going to be so bad during the tribulation period that people are literally going to want to kill themselves because it's going to be so bad because they've rejected God during their life that they're going to want to kill themselves. And God's going to be like, no, you're not, for 5 months. That's how bad it's going to be. It just goes to prove. But then that second part, neither hath he power in the day of death. What is death? Death is a judgment from God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. It is the judgment of God on sinful man. And no matter how hard we may try, just like we have no power over life, we have no power over death. I like how it says there is no discharge from that war. You go into the service, you serve a couple years, and you can get an honorable discharge. Well, or you go get wounded in battle, and you can get an honorable discharge. But here, there is no discharge of death. There is no one who can escape its limits or its boundaries. It says there is no discharge in war. Neither shall the wicked deliver those that are given to it. There's no escaping it. The judgments of the king, the fear of judgment, of the king. B, the wicked will be removed by the judgment of the king. The wicked will be removed by the judgment of the king. Look at verse number 9. All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one ruleth over another to his own hurt. This person taking this position of leadership only to his own hurt and his own demise. Verse 10 says, and so I saw the wicked buried. Now, first they were ruling, now they're in the grave. And it says, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. They had no business being there. The wicked had no business being in the place of the holy. It goes on to say, it says, and they were forgotten. They were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. This addresses the individual in positions of authority or leadership who are unqualified for their roles, motivated solely by status for personal gain or glory, ultimately leading to their own demise. Okay, did everybody get that? This is talking about that person that is striving for leadership position in the church or striving for leadership position in the world, but it's not in them. It's not in them. They're doing it for the wrong reasons, for the self-glory, for the self-gain, or for the self-motivation. These types of men are a dime a dozen and will leave no good thing behind and will soon all be forgotten. I like how it says right there, they reigned for a time, they were buried, and they were forgotten. The end result of those seeking glory for themselves. And then see, the delayed results of the judgments of the king. The delayed results of the judgments of the king. Look at verse number 11. Because sentence against an evil work, who dishes out the sentences, those judges, those in authority over us, but because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I want to draw your attention to two different words, sentencing and execution. Sentencing and execution, they happen at two different times. You get a sentencing from the judge, but then that execution or that coming down of the verdict of the punishment comes a little later. The sentencing has already happened in this verse, but for whatever reason, there is a delay in the execution of punishment. This could be a picture of God's grace towards man while he waits to see if man will come to Jesus and to take his sentence of punishment, or this could be that earthly king or government that negates their responsibility to carry out punishment, and it results in a full-blown rebellion of man. And we kind of see some of that especially in regards to our culture, our world, and the punishment that comes down, negating to dish out the punishment, the sentences, and it results in full-blown rebellion. Now, for God not to execute judgment, I want you to think through this for a second with me. For God not to execute judgment, that should be called what? Grace. Grace. Praise the Lord that God doesn't execute judgment right here and right now, because there's somebody lost that needs Jesus. And so praise the Lord for that. Now, I do think there's a difference here, and I do think this could go both ways, but for God not to execute judgment is grace, and when received, it results in the submission to authority in a man's heart. When a man does come to that place where he receives the punishment that Jesus has paid for him, it brings his heart into a place of submission to authority. However, for men in authority to not execute judgment, that's rebellion. And I'm going to take a little different twist on this, but whose fault is it when judgment isn't executed? Is it the person that's got the sentencing on them, or is it the person dishing out the sentencing? It's the responsibility of the one dishing out the sentencing. Rebellion starts here, and it shows itself here. Case in point, mom and dad. we're told to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This means sometimes correction. In love, of course. Bringing your children to a place, biblically, go read Proverbs. It talks about putting a board of education on the seat of learning. Done in the right way, okay? Done with the right heart and the right motive, but we are to teach our children how to obey authority. And so we understand here that when that sentencing goes undone, the result is often the person dishing out the sentencing. That rebellion starts up top and works its way down. That will lead to a people who will continue to rebel. But its result is failed leadership. God's going to bring judgment. You better believe that. God's grace is why it's not here. Look at verse number 13 or verse number 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times. Now picture it. It just talks about this sentencing not being punished. Now we're talking about this guy in Baltimore. This is a big thing. I mean, you could go get locked up, have a bunch of drugs on you, get back out on the street the next day, go get locked up, get back out on the street the next day. It was like never ending, no correction, no punishment. So therefore, the people would constantly do the same thing over and over again. So here we see a picture of this. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, that execution isn't coming, that punishment isn't coming, that correction isn't coming. So therefore, even though that guy does evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. Hey, it's going to be well. I can't say it's going to be well with that guy, but I know if I'm yielding myself to the authority over me, it will be well with me, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not God. Regardless of the rebellion of this world and how bad it may get, those who fear God and submit to his will as King Supreme will be blessed. But for those who rebel against his rule will ultimately be judged someday by God, regardless of the judgments of man. Okay? And we hope that as God extends grace, we talked about this before, that hoping as God extends grace, that as he extends grace, the love of Christ constrains a man to see the grace that God has poured out on him. and hopefully bring that man to his knees. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound from God's perspective. Number three, the misery of the king. The misery of the king. In case you haven't could tell, we're going to finish this chapter today. So the misery of the king. Look at verse number 14. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Can we go next couple slides over? Or is that one? Yeah, nope, go back. You were right. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be a just man unto whom it happeneth according to the words of the wicked. Again, notice the contrast, the just man, the wicked man. And notice how things are out of balance. There be a wicked man unto whom it happeneth according to the works of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor and the days of his life which God giveth unto him. And so basically, because he couldn't understand God's reasoning, he's like, man, I might as well just go live it up. I might as well just go enjoy what's here and now, temporal. But I want to bring something out to you. For me, in preparation for this, man, this just stuck out to me and was just a big, gigantic picture of Jesus. Solomon, as an earthly king and with such great power, still could not change or understand some things in life that God would allow. Case in point, like the righteous to suffer punishment when he didn't deserve it. Look at it, that there be a just man unto whom it happeneth according to the works of the wicked. He's getting punished. He's getting corrected. He's getting in trouble for the works that a wicked man should get in trouble for. And on the other hand, it says, and the wicked to be set free when he deserved judgment. You know where I'm going with this, don't you, Steve? Although this was confusing for Solomon and brought him much sorrow, he didn't see the divine plan that God, as the ultimate king, would eventually fulfill. His perfect son, who is just and righteous, would one day endure the suffering that the wicked deserved. We talked about it on Good Friday as he hung in the place of wicked men. He did not deserve that. However, sometimes one day would endure the suffering that the wicked deserved. Sometimes God's ways may seem unclear, but we can always have faith in his judgments. Always. Solomon couldn't understand why God sometimes would allow that injustice to happen. He's like, you don't see what I see. You don't understand what I understand. Someday I'm going to give the most righteous, the greatest, and he's going to suffer for all wicked men for things that he doesn't deserve, and all the wicked men that deserve that punishment will someday get treated righteous, all because of him. All because of him. This beautifully illustrates the story of Jesus. And how we often buck against the Lord because we don't understand his ways. And we are found to rebel against the Lord. Solomon, in his frustration and his misery, God, I don't understand. At the end of the day, he would say, you don't need to understand. You need to trust. Too many of us try to figure out God and try to understand God. He's like, that's not it, which leads us to point number four, the mystery of the king. Look at verse number 16. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth. For also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Verse 17, then I beheld all the works of God. And he says that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it, yet he will not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it. Yeah, I know what God's saying here, and I know what God's thinking here, and yet shall he not be able to what? Find it. That's the mystery of the great king. He's a great king. We don't understand his ways. I love Psalms 127, too. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And I like that picture because it says right here, it says, there is that neither see sleep night nor day. Why? Because they're trying to figure out God. They're trying to understand why God's doing what God's doing. And Solomon's talking about himself. I went through many sleepless nights trying to figure out why God's doing what he's doing. But he failed to miss that we must either place our trust in the Lord, our King, or choose not to. As there are matters he has revealed to us that require faith without visual confirmation. Solomon dedicated his life to uncovering the mystery of God, yet he struggled to trust and obey the word of God through faith. Does this resonate with you? Does this resonate with you? We struggle to obey God because he is allowing something in our life that just doesn't make sense. Maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe it's a financial reversal. Maybe it's a life situation that we don't like. The question is do you trust him? Do you trust that he is King Supreme, even if the ruler over you is a wicked Nebuchadnezzar? Do you trust that God is supreme in it all? Because the person that rules over you on this earth is not the ultimate person that rules over you. The person who pulls the strings is not the person that you call your boss, even if that is your wife. No, I'm just kidding. Bad joke. It's God. God does. God does. Are you trying to search out God's unrevealed will for your life in this world, but you haven't listened to his revealed word? We've talked about that before. Oh, I want to know God's direction for my life, but you're not going to pick up the Bible. Well, keep on searching, because guess what? You're not going to find it. Take it from me. Take it from Solomon. He searched out the world looking for that pleasure, that satisfaction, and all along he had the answers right there in front of him, but he just didn't want to follow him. Didn't want to listen to him. We walk by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Impossible. Solomon spent a lifetime searching out the mysteries of creation while he completely missed the Creator. While he completely missed the Creator. Who are you trusting in? Will you trust him? Will you find rest in his words? Bible says he giveth his beloved sleep. Are you his beloved? I think according to scripture you are, if you've put your faith in him. And even if you haven't, he loves you and he wants you to. You know, I think today is, man, we chewed on a whole lot. I think we got to come to the conclusion that he's the great king. He's the supreme king. Especially in regards to authority. I don't know about you, but I bucked authority, man. I had a big pride issue. I didn't like to be told what to do. God had to break me of that. Maybe in your life, I mean, I would say one of the paramount things that I would ask is, how are you doing with yielding to the authority that God has placed over you? Could be a boss. Could be a parent, child. Could be, you know, wives with your husband. And I'm not talking about that doesn't give a husband a right to be a jerk or a dictator. I'm not talking about that. But those in authority, what about our government? Well, I just don't agree with that, so I'm going to go talk bad about him. I'm going to say all these other things about him. Hey, listen, if the angels won't bring a railing accusation against the devil who deserves it, what gives you any better right to talk any differently? I don't know. Maybe you could tell me. You know, with heads bowed and eyes closed, my wife, she's going to come up and play the piano just for a second, but I got a few questions I want you to ponder on with heads bowed and eyes closed. This is jam-packed full of all kind of stuff. Personally convicting for me, personally challenging for me, but my first question is, how did the Holy Spirit prick your heart? How did the Holy Spirit nudge you or encourage you? What kind of rubbed you the wrong way? I would say you got to pray that in. You got to search that thing out. Maybe how were you encouraged today? That you know you got a King Nebuchadnezzar in your life that's getting ready to throw you in a lion's den, but you realize that you got the King Supreme that's going to fight for you. Maybe you need to take courage in that. Maybe you need to rest in that. How are you doing with the authority that God has placed over you? Are you bucking it? Are you rebelling it? Are you talking bad about your boss behind closed doors? Are you murmuring about the leadership in the church? Are you saying things about your spouse or this person or that person because you don't like it? Are you talking about government and those in authority? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Are you always questioning? Are you one of the people that are always questioning God's authority? Questioning those in authority instead of trusting when things don't make sense? Do you get frustrated when God doesn't tell you why he's allowing you to go through that sickness, that financial reversal, that marriage trouble? Mom and dad, are you negating the correction in the home that needs to be brought in there in a loving way with a Christ-like heart? Greatest picture of Jesus, though, is the fact that he hasn't brought judgment yet, because there's people that need to be saved. Are you one to run from authority when they tell you something you don't like? Well, I'll go to another church, or I'll go to another job, or I'll get another significant other, or I'll do whatever. Will you trust God as your Father and King Supreme? Because he knows what's best for you. I promise you. This is where faith comes in at. God loves you. Not as a subject, but as a son and as a daughter. Yes, he is our king, but he is our father. And I think the greatest thing that we can do is trust him and yield to those that he has put in our life. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, man, submit yourself under his word. Take ownership of your sins before him. Confess to him, I need you. I'm a sinner. I need you to take my sentence of death. Forgive me. As the worship team comes, nobody looking around, let's pray. Father, I come before you today, Lord, and I do just pray that your word, it is perfect, it is pure, it is faultless. Lord, if I've messed anything up today, I pray that your words would just be supreme. And Lord, my words would be forgotten. Your words would be taken and nailed to our hearts as goads fastened to our heart, Lord God. I pray that you would work in us. I pray that you would transform us. I pray that you would purify us and lead us, Lord God, as you are the great King, Lord. And it is your prerogative to do whatever you want, whenever you want. Lord, help us to trust you that you have, Lord God, you know what's best for us. You have our best interests, Lord God, at heart, Lord, in our life. Lord, I pray that you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.